Is there anybody here for the first time to this church that knows me? I'm just looking because I invited some friends. I just want to make sure. Okay, good. It was so late, but I'm going to wait. I got all kinds of people who want to know where I go in Leesburg, so this is all kind of good. Yeah, I like that. Before I even begin, I want to say congratulations to Frontier Church on absolutely being incredible this weekend, blessing all of us. Bishop Cotto would say the same thing. What an honor for us to be part of an unbelievable celebration, but especially the servant heart and spirit, the involvement, whether you were actually doing something or involved in the parking or involved in the preparing, all those things for me are just so awesome. Yeah. Yeah, just beautiful. Yeah, so worthy of it. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, our sound guys, my big brother up there, he works so hard. Sometimes we don't know it because they're in the back, but it's a guy who pastored for some years. I appreciate everybody who's willing to do it. And so it was a fantastic week, and I just want to, again, applaud you for all of us. Bishop Kimball would say the same thing this morning. This was an incredible job, an incredible opportunity. Those pictures have already gone out. Some people don't know that I actually dress like that. They said to me, "Are you black?" I said, "Everything but my skin." That's exactly right. They said, "Are you Catholic?" "Yeah, it's a universal church." Don't send that negative stuff to this boy. He doesn't do well with that. We got too positive of a kingdom. Amen? Yeah. Yes. Beautiful. So do you mind this morning if we go on a revolutionary journey? So I want to take us through the word a bit this morning and say some things to us that certainly will be revolutionary in many, many ways, positive. And then I want to speak over the bishop, both bishops, their families, and some other folks within the church, and just make this not so much, this is not the end of it, it's just the capstone to what's been set by the cornerstone, that the whole house is measured differently than ever was before, that we have become truly something that we have only dreamed about. And in some ways, we weren't sure if the Lord would ever do such a thing, but I'm here to say to you, He's not going to, He is. It's beautiful. Yeah. Okay. My wife said to me, she said after I sent my picture with me and Bishop Kimball and some other pictures to some of our friends all across the country, she followed up with, "Listen, I still can't dress him up no matter how dressed up he is and take him anywhere. So it doesn't matter how dressed he up is. Now I'm probably going to have to wear, I think I should go to Target with the Rastafarian hairdo." Yeah. My whole life, my wife's put me in wigs, so this is not a new thing. Oh, yeah, all the time. Wear this one now. Come on, hon. Wear it, I told you. All right. Yeah. I can feel her pressing through the screen as we're... Hebrews chapter 1. Again, Bishop... And the family, the eldership, what an honor for me to be here this morning, this weekend. I appreciate everything that he was said, but the truth is this is just Jay LaRue. Fell in love with him 40 years ago this year. My dad and mom the same, just a little bit after me. Yeah, and my wife a little before us, actually. Linda was the first one. Was in love with him then as a Catholic charismatic boy, and am more in love with him today. It was never about the PhDs. It was never about the education. It's not even about what I do. It was never about that. It was about this one who is willing to pay it all for me. And I am forever indebted to him for doing such an amazing thing. Yes. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Old language. I hope you don't mind that I still love this beautiful old language. God, who at sundry times, different times and in different manners, like a puzzle, spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has these last days spoken unto us. It really should be in the Son. That's in the Son pre-incarnate, all the way to his ascension and his sitting at the right hand. Everything about his life he's speaking about. Whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness, the splendor of his glory, and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Chapter 2, verse 10. For it became him, speaking about Jesus, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons, again, wrong interjection, to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. John chapter 1, just a couple more verses, and I want to say some opening statements and we'll pray. Love this verse. And the Word, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, incarnated, and tabernacled, dwelt among us. And no parentheses, of course, in the Greek, but they love it. The translators are emphasizing this. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Chapter 2, verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested, he made known, he revealed that which was hidden, he made known that which was unknown. He manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Last one, Exodus chapter 33, all the way to the other side, if you have your Bibles. If you have your phones, it's super easier, but I like this. My fingers are doing the walking, not through the yellow pages, but through this beautiful book. The most relevant book. Chapter 33, verse 18, Moses' words. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. We've entered into the greatest moment of time that we have ever known, and certainly my 40 years, and because I like history prior to that. The things that he began revealing to us, especially those who are my age or older, or even 50 years old and up, from the very inception of our Christianity, certain things we felt he was going to do, the moving of the nations, the moving of the world, a sickling that would be like no other, greater than the early days of the church, was the beginning, not the end. It was the start, not the finish. We believed it, but it seemed as though things changed. They weaned away. It seemed as though that the kingdom of God had seemed to be less strong. It seemed as though the church began to be weak. In some ways, it was. But I want to encourage you, the day that you and I have known has come to an end. The Lord has begun something. He's not going to do it. He's already begun it. Grandpa and grandmother, if there was ever a day to embrace the promise of God, it's now. If there's ever a day to embrace the prophetic word, it's now. If there's ever a day to embrace the dream, it's now. Fathers and mothers, uncle and aunts, young men, young women, this is the day of the Lord, not of vengeance, but of a move and a change that we have never seen before. Unprecedented. Let me just quote it out of the sure word of prophecy. Isaiah's prophecy, listen to it. 62, 1 and 2. You don't have to chase it down. I'll just quote it. It's good. For Zion's sake, that's for the sake of the church, because he's going to answer the cry of the watchman. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness goes forth as brightness and salvation as a lamp that burneth. I want you to know it's a beautiful thing when men speak. I love speaking, love prophecy. Ever since I saw it, the first time I ever saw it, I love when women speak. Even angels at times have spoken. But when the Lord himself utters his voice in the earth trembles at the voice of the Almighty. And as we sit here today, the whole earth is trembling. He told the prophet, and he quoted in the Hebrew letter, that he would shake the heavens and the earth, and everything that could be shaken off would be, and everything that was to remain will remain. Please listen. This is super positive. Super positive. For the believer in every nation, he is causing things to be made right. I don't care if a nation doesn't believe he exists. He's causing things to be made right by the power of his might, even as we sit here. He's causing salvation to encircle the earth like fire. Anticipate salvation coming to our families, to our friends, to our neighborhoods, to our schools, to our universities. Expect it. But I like verse 2, and I came to speak about verse 2. And the Gentiles shall see your righteousness. For that to happen, something's going on with them and us. Can you imagine a church that doesn't have to wear it on their bumper sticker or on their shirt and a tattoo? I don't mind any of those things. But can you imagine a world who has no need for the church will all of a sudden be seeing something in us that they declare is right? We're right this way, we're right this way, we're right this way. The Gentiles see your righteousness, but here's the verse, the part of the verse 2. And all kings your glory. The king of the United States, the king in Bolivia, El Salvador, Cuba, Colombia, the king in England, France, Ireland, the king in Afghanistan, Pakistan, the king in Korea, the king in the Philippines who doesn't believe, the king in Australia, the king in China, all kings shall see your glory. But I want to say this thought this morning, for them to see it, that means we have to have it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so for the incredible honor for me this morning. Only you really know, no matter how much I say it. I'm humbled and honored this morning to be here, to be part of this incredible church. I'm not an overseer, I'm a paraclete. Just come alongside to see the destiny of the Lord be fulfilled here. By the prophetic word, by the written word, and by the intercession, and by the travail. All of those things are who we are and what we do. So, Father, this morning, let it be the beginning of a beholding you and a seeing of you like never before. Let the revelation of Jesus Christ and the revelation of the kingdom of God be ours like never before. Whether this is our first day in the kingdom or we've been here forever, doesn't matter. Let a new strength come into us to believe for the impossible. To reach for that was not probable. Come on. Father, that the word of God would be so alive and real in us that we would say yes to it, that we would marry the promise, that we would be sons and daughters who would marry thee. All of the prophetic word would come to pass. It isn't the beginning. It isn't the end. It is the beginning. And I so thank you. I wasn't sure if you would do it in my generation, but I was believing for my son and my grandson and my generations to come. But you've decided to do it here and now. Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. It was the Lord who told Abraham back here in the 15th chapter of the Genesis that his seed would go into a strange land. And in that land, they'd be greatly oppressed. But in the fourth generation, in 400 years, they would come out with great wealth. But they would be severely oppressed. Abraham had no idea really what it is, but you know the story. That day would come. He would find a man who was pushed out by Egypt and by Pharaoh, whose name was Moses. He'd find him at a burning bush, and he would tell Moses something that Moses didn't realize. You see, no one knew the power of his might. He had never revealed himself as God Almighty, but he said to Moses, he said, yo, big Mo, chill out, dude, because he was all nervous about Pharaoh and Egypt. He's all worried about world powers and news and media and all the stuff that we worry about. He said, yo, chill out. I want you to tell my people something because they need to hear it. And the big Mo was going like, yeah, what? And he said, I want you to tell Pharaoh too. Really? Yeah. And I want you to tell all Egypt. And big Mo said, finally, what do you want me to say? I want you to tell him, I am God Almighty. And with a demonstration of power, 10 power moves, he delivered a people without a sword, without a spear, without even a fight. Yeah, those people that he knew would rebel against him, that he knew would dislike him. That's the kind of father he is. It was never about us. It was about them. He parted the Red Sea. 3 months, they would get to Mount Sinai. Incredible moment. They were already grumbling. Man, they embarrassed me, but I know that we could have become them. If he didn't do something. And all of a sudden at the grumbling, the heavens opened up. Something that was never seen before. A thick dark cloud came out of the heavens. It had lightnings and thunders. It was God in the cloud. It was his throne in the cloud. It always has thunders and lightnings. There was voices. It was so scary that all of the Israelites moved away. And they said, Moses, we're not going to go near it. It was so great and grand that Mount Sinai literally shook at the presence of the Lord. Moses would come up and he would get the Ten Commandments. He would begin to see the tabernacle, the beginning of the pattern. Even though he saw all these amazing things, he had one cry in his heart. Show me thy glory. And I want to say to us this morning, I believe in the inception of our Christianity, the day that I got born again, there's been a cry in our hearts. Show us your glory. He said to Moses, "You can't see my face and live." He was right. He said, "I'm going to have to put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll let my goodness come by you. And I'll sing unto the Lord, and I'll move my hand, and you shall see my backside." It was so amazing that when Moses left that mountain, they had to veil his face because the brilliancy of just beholding the back portion of the Lord Almighty, that level of the glory was so immersed into him, he had to do it. The glory of God would be the difference between Israel and every nation. The glory of God always has within it the throne of God and God present. Not the hand of God, not just God speaking, God living with them. They knew this. Even their enemies at one battle, the Philistines, fearing nobody, would get nervous because they would hear a shout. They knew God was in the midst. The world knew that this ark represented the glory of God. There was no other nation like it in the world. It's what separated them from all the nations of the world. It would come in a cloud in Moses' tabernacle. When it got into that cloud, it was incredible. It was so thick, so amazing. They called it kabod because they were in awe of it. They said it's heavy, it's weighty. It wasn't so much how much it weighed or its substance. It was just awesome. In the 60s, they would have said, "Whoa, that's heavy." Just for those who didn't live in that era, not so much me. I was still young, but my wife remembers it. He spoke through the cherubims of glory. This whole thing was a mirror. It was a shadow of something that we'll see in just a moment. Even in Solomon's temple, it would be the same way. In that gorgeous temple, it's so beautiful. That cloud filled that, and Solomon couldn't even get in. None of the priests could get in because men were not allowed to be in the glory that was his. It wasn't until the prophet Isaiah, struggling over the death of King Uzziah, and all of a sudden he has a vision and he looks up and he sees the Lord sitting upon his throne high and lifted up. His train would fill the temple and he would be witnessing something that we had no idea was going on. He would see it, and all of a sudden these seraphims would be saying things one to another. They had six wings to cover their face, to cover their hips, to fly with, and all of a sudden they would be saying one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is he." They weren't saying it to him. They were saying it to one another. You see, the deep was calling out of the deep. And so they were saying, "Holy, holy." All of a sudden, he's watching it. And the smoke, not the cloud, it's smoke now, fills this temple. It is so amazing. It shakes the doorpost, literally moves them. He is in awe of it. He steps back and he says, "I am a man of unclean lips and with the people of unclean lips." It was awesome to him. It would be the prophet Daniel 200 years later. He would be looking up and he'd have a vision of the end day, and all thrones would be cast down and the throne of all thrones would be upon it. And he would look at him and he'd be sitting upon his throne. The throne had fire on it and he was full of fire. Daniel was in awe of it. And he'll say, as he's looking up into it, he says, "There's thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000 ministering unto him." You see, the angels weren't created in the beginning, nor the seraphim or cherubim to carry words or to come to the earth. The earth was not yet formed yet. They were created to give him glory. He dwells in the heavens, but he receives glory there. They are not the same thing. The heavens are filled with the glory of God because he is glorified just because he's there. They can't help but to say, "Holy, holy, holy." It wasn't until John was on Isle of Patmos that we began to see a larger picture of this invisible world. And he's in the Spirit on the Lord's day, in the fourth chapter of the Revelation, and all of a sudden he's in the Spirit. He hears voices that say, "Come up higher, come up hither." Well, man can't go up. I can't just ascend. And immediately he was at this open door and he peered in and he begins to tell us what he sees. It isn't an apostolic thing. It's our thing. And he looks in and he sees one sitting upon a throne that looks like a man, and a lamb that looks as slain with seven eyes, perfect vision throughout the whole earth, and then the seven spirits of the living God. And as he looks, he sees this ocean of the martyrs. It appears this, like this glass, and he sees these 24 elders, and all of a sudden he hears these beasts One has the face of a man, one an oxen, one an eagle, and one of a lion. They begin to say, holy, holy, holy. And the elders can't help but to bow their knee and to lay their crowns to him. And they say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy. They're giving him glory. But it wasn't until the prophet Ezekiel, sitting at the river Chebar with the refugees, the slum, if you will. Daniel's up in the king's chambers. He's in the palace. Ezekiel has a vision. And all of a sudden, the north opens up. And something of a whirlwind is coming out of the north. The north, and it's very symbolic, so I'm going to say a lot of things this morning that you'll just enjoy. I said we're going on a revolutionary adventure this morning. All of a sudden, the north opens up and there's a whirlwind. The north is where God dwells. Something's coming from the dwelling of God. Something's coming from Him. And now all of a sudden he looks and he's writing it like a good prophet would, just like John. He's writing what he sees. He's not interpreting it. And he says he sees four living creatures. They look like men. Each one of them has a face of a man, of a lion, of an oxen, and an eagle. As he's looking, he sees fire going up and down the creatures, and the spirit is in the wheels of these creatures. And wherever the spirit goes, the creatures go. The spirit goes up, they go up. The spirit goes down, they go down. The spirit stops, they stop. And he hears their wings, six of them. It sounds like the voice of the Almighty. He's blown away. He'll say, it was the vision of the likeness of the glory of the Lord above its firmament, and he sees the throne. This imagery connected heaven to earth as they were in the earth. I want to say to you this morning, this is not what the glory of God looks like. This is what the glory of God produces. There's something that the glory of God only accomplishes in the lives of men and women. They knew it from the beginning. They knew it the whole time. That's why they sent it. We were never to live without the glory of God. And I'm here to tell you, we will not. As I'm watching the prophet Ezekiel, and he's 25 to 28 years of his prophetic life, I love the book. It's very allegorical, but it's very understandable. All of a sudden, he'll be in Babylon, and the Lord will take him by the crop of his hair and bring him to Jerusalem. And he'll say, look. And he'll look and he'll see the glory of God that he saw, the same vision in what we know now as Solomon's temple in the Holy of Holies. And he says, look at what they do. And he looks and he sees men and women worshiping the gods of the Babylonians. The Lord isn't upset. He's observing. Ezekiel's taken by it because he hasn't been here. And all of a sudden, the glory of God moves five movements all the way to what we know now as the Mount of Olives. The glory of God left the people of God, and they continued carrying on their religious activities. When I saw that, I was moved by it, as he was. But that wasn't the only generation to live without the glory of God. King Saul, his entire kingship and life, the ark will be with the Philistines. When David becomes king, the first thing he does is, I've got to bring the ark back to my home. He knew that you could not have life without the glory of God. You could not have family without the glory of God. You couldn't affect the world without the glory of God. He knew it! Even though he had everything, power, fame, fortune, fear, he knew that was the only answer for his home and for his people and for his nation. Then the prophet Ezekiel, which I love, toward the end of his book, the Lord brings him and he measures out a temple. I'm not here to establish eschatology or to ruin yours, not at all. He sees a temple as everything is by him, so measured. It's worth the study. Absolutely beautiful in its imagery, in its numbering, in everything about it, in its colors, in its metals. Incredible. And he watches it being made, and he sees a priesthood coming to it, and he's waiting for the prince to come back to it, that he would establish his worship, and he sees this new priesthood that's going on. But all of a sudden, he looks, and out of the east comes the same vision of the glory of God that he had from the beginning. The east is always symbolic of his return. There will be an ultimate return, but this is him coming and reviving. This is coming and refreshing. This is him coming to restore to order everything, his ultimate intention, coming to establish it. I want you to know that I'm not speaking about something that's on its way in some future time. It's on its way as I speak. Watch. So the glory of God, he's seen it. He sees the vision. He steps back as I'm watching, I'm reading it. And it comes into the temple. And the man bringing him, which is the Lord, brings him around to the south side of the temple. And he looks, and by the altar starts coming out this water stream. Well, wait a minute. It came in as four living creatures with the sound of the Almighty, with their wings and the fire and the Spirit. And they came in. Now this vision of this likeness of the glory of God is now water flowing out. And he sees it, and he's writing it. I'm just going to give you some numbers. Just you that he'll love these things, just take them, and you, the other ones, just enjoy them some other time. He will measure out 4 cubit measurements of 1,000. Let me just touch it. You okay? Are you good? The number 4 is God's intervention in the affairs of men. This river coming from the temple is about to change all mankind. The number 1,000. So what he does, he measures it. Listen, it's 1,000 feet, 4,000s. The number 1,000 is pretty simple. I know I'm making it. Are you getting this? So I'm really good. You're doing good. I look at you. You're so attentive. This is so much fun for me. No one's fighting me. No one's shaking their head. No one's going like this. Well, there's a few like this. It's okay, though. Listen, the number 10, it's 10 times 100. That's how you get 1,000. The number 10 is God's order. But it isn't this thing how we know it, especially me as a male. Well, get this straight, get that straight. Oh, no. This is the number 10. What he has begun, he will see it to its end. That's why Paul said, listen, I'm confident it's one thing. What are you confident, Paul? The thing he begun, he will finish it. The number 100, of course, is the number of promise. Dealing with Abraham, impossibility, it can't happen. You don't know me. You don't know my family. Doesn't matter. But you don't know what I've gone through. Doesn't matter. You don't know how dead I feel. Doesn't matter. You know what this is? This 1,000, is what God started. He will see it to its end. What he promised, he will do it. Watch. He measures it off. He says, probably Jesus, it's to my feet. That's right. You see, this river will start changing the way we walk. I need it too. Because sometimes I walk a little fearful. I was born to run, baby. I was born to Heisman. We were born to climb every mountain, run into every valley without any fear. So it's affecting our feet. Even our feet are a little Mephibosheth broken, or even our feet are not sure, or our feet are old, or we have a lot of memories. It comes to wash it, establish it, so that we could be the people of God. It hits the feet first, but it's also touching the world, because it's going to flow into the world. Watch. So it flows to the feet. Then he says, then it was to my knees. Oh, I like that, because I want to be a man of prayer. But I'll tell you what, the glory of God, when I'm with him, that's why I need to be with him. That's why I need to live in the heavens. I just can't be here all the time. I've got to be with him. You know why? Because it's easy to bend the knee. It's the first thing we do when I think, whoa, I don't know what's going on. I bow. Always. Moses did it. Joshua did it. Certainly Jesus lived that way. It's just the way who we are. But that glory, that water affects me. It affects me. And then it came to the hip. You see, this is a strong part of our life. That's why Peter said, look, gird the loins of your mind. This is my strength. This is the power of any man, any woman. It came here, touched me. But this is all my life-giving too, that I'm not imparting Jay LaRue. I'm not imparting some of my theory and my thoughts. Oh, no. We're having the Christ life here. We're imparting and giving the life of Christ. We're reproducing after his kind, not after our kind. And then he said it was a river. He said it like this. It's a river, man. Undeniable. That's exactly right. Watch. I love this. He follows it and he says, the river had trees on every side and they were fruitful in every season. And the leaves of the trees were for the medicine of the nation. And then this is the part I love the most, because I love this bishop. And I love that bishop, but I love the pastors, Pastor David that was here, and I love the pastors that were here, and I love the pastor that was here that's starting a church in Wildwood. I love pastors because I love the church. I love these men and women who give their lives to him. I just love them. What, if we never see each other again, they'll live here for a heart and travail believing for them. If I'm never at their church, it doesn't really matter. This is just bonus for me. But he'll look and he'll say, even the Dead Sea lived. The river flowed into the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea, which was dead, lives. This river, this glory, brings life to the deadest things, the deadest places. Prophet Ezekiel says that every fisherman, not just Pentecostals, every fisherman, every man who throws a net. We're not segregated here, right? We're black, white. We're building a church for every nation, every mankind. Everyone. Come on. Every fisherman took nets. That's why I said to you, get ready. Salvation's coming in unprecedented measure. Give up. Okay. Let me just finish. Yeah, because you get me too excited. I got to get out of Ezekiel because it's just trouble in there. It's beautiful. Beautiful picture. Isn't it beautiful? Listen, which I love. Here was the Lord's intent, though, that the glory of God would never be in a tabernacle, nor a temple, nor in a prophetic city or a temple. It would be in a man. And that man would have the glory of God in him, and he would be the manifestation of the glory of God. It isn't thick darkness. It isn't smoke. It isn't cloud. It's the manifestation of the splendor, the beauty, the majesty, the preeminence of Jesus Christ, so tangible, you can't deny he's there. Here was his prayer. I'm almost done. I want to quote a few scriptures out of the New Testament. Here was his prayer. At the end, the disciples were weary and tired. They were still mad at each other because they couldn't figure out which one of them was greatest. He said, I don't pray for just these, but I pray for those that will come, the ones in Leesburg. Even that kid from New England. Jay. That they would be one as we're one. You and me and you. That we would be one in them. The glory that you gave me in the beginning, I have given to them, that they might be one as we are one. I and you, you and me, you and them, them and us. But I pray also. See, now when he prays in his prayer, I got to like, okay, come on, pray it. I mean, that's how you got to read your Bible. It's like that kind of book. He said, I pray this also. That where I am, present tense verb, then and now, where I am, they would be also. That they would behold my glory. That's his prayer. Every morning and every evening, I got to tell you, I'm joining you with that prayer. I believe it. Let me quote a few verses to you. You'll like these. Anticipate the glory of God, not some cloud, not some thick darkness, not some fearful thing. But a movement of the manifestation and the dimensions of God in revelation, unprecedented in our world. We've been living without it. It's dimensional just like him. He's always here, but I'm not just happy with his finger. I hope you don't mind that. Or his big toe. I appreciate everything he's done. He's great. He's incredibly blessing. We want him. Always have. Okay, listen. Christ in you. The hope of glory. So it's this person in us. It's the hope of it. Okay, this is, we with unveiled faces, the writer to the Corinthians. He's talking about Moses who wore a veil and couldn't see him. We with unveiled faces, beholding as it were in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Not looking at ourselves, we're looking at the glory of God, the splendor, the beauty, and the majesty being unveiled. We are looking into a mirror we're looking into a glass as a mirror, beholding the glory of God, are changed into the same image from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory, no end. Can I do another one? Yeah, I'm just having too much fun. You do know this. Aren't these beautiful verses? So this light affliction that is working in us, it's changed how I see everything in my own personal life. This light affliction, because Paul gives his own version, he has to tell us that he's been suffering. We know Paul. This light affliction is working in us a more eternal weight of glory. By the way, the word weight is an expanse not measurable. So every time I'm going through something on Monday morning, I realize this, no matter what it is, it's working in me, this splendor of God. And it's causing this Christ to grow in this man. Not that he could talk about him, not that he could just speak about him, but that he could represent him. And out of our lives, he's seen visibly in our walk, and he's manifested outside of us. I'm going to say something in a moment. All right, can I do another one? All right. So God, who has commanded the light out of darkness, isn't that darkness fears that? He commanded the light out of darkness, has given to us in the light the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Lord was right when he said to Moses, you can't see me, my face, and live. See, that's why he's opened up a door, he's made a way. Because when I see his face, I no longer live, but the Christ who lives in me, he is seen. Aren't these, all my life, well, for a big part of my life, I thought that all that was going to happen some other time because glory and heaven were the same. They are not. One last one, okay? This one you'll enjoy because we got to finish this building and build other things. Now my God shall supply all of your needs according to his glory. So there's a level of riches, by the way, that's all external. That's how he cares for us. There's a wealth that comes with the glory of God. Now, see, I don't like sharing these things because I don't like to produce anybody or be involved in anybody who's looking to get what he offers. I'm thankful for that, but I don't want it to be the reason. But there's a level of wealth that comes with the glory of God that doesn't come any other way. So much of our struggle and what we've wanted to do and be is because we've been living without the glory of God. 14 generations lived without it. From Daniel in Babylon to the birth of Jesus Christ, 14 generations, the ark was nowhere to be found. When I began to understand that, I had one cry. Show me your glory! I've got to have it. I've got to see it. I've got to know it. I've got to behold your face. I was born from above as you, to see from above, to understand from above, to live from above, to come to this earth as humble servants, as worshiping servants, loving everyone that I come in contact with and letting him be known. And when they try to make us king, we'll run away. As he did. Stand with me for a moment. You know what's beautiful? I'm so used to, okay. Who wants this? Who would make a decision this morning? I'm so used to that because I've been living my whole life and trying to convince us and me to believe in him and hope for him. But because he's uttered his voice, I don't have to ask, do you believe? He's coming, causing us. Please, let me say this. He manifests his glory. Why? So his disciples would believe. The glory of God caused even the disciples to believe in dimensions they themselves could not. So I just want to do, if you don't mind, if you want to do this, fine. I got to kind of extend out a little bit. Father, we thank you this morning that you heard the cry of the watchman. You've come to establish us and make us a praise in the earth again, a brilliant light, the church in the world, not just America, the world. That salvation is coming to our families in unprecedented measures. Everyone here who has a family member who doesn't believe, this is a day of great encouragement, great hope. If you're causing things to be right around the world, I don't have to worry about some voice out of Wall Street or Hollywood or Iran or Iraq or Korea. I don't have to worry about those voices. They mean nothing. Because we're tuned into your voice, and your voice is the voice that matters.
Yes.
Lord, the Gentiles shall see our righteousness. But I love this more and the most. Thank you for this. All kings shall see our glory. That the splendor, the beauty, the majesty, the preeminence, the glory of our God yet unseen will be made visible through us, your church.
Yes.
We establish today we're honored to be yours.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. How about giving him a hand for me, okay, amen? We good? We're recording. Everything is good. You know what's fun about every time that I come here, because, and it's different in every house, but I'm in a house on the very first day that we met, in the house of Ezra. I love that more than any other scribe that ever has written, because this Ezra has this priestly nature to him, and he's establishing the law of God, not as a legal document, but as a passionate heart. He himself will establish it in the restoration. And so the Lord has set you here to be that very thing, the Ezra, a scribe priest, to establish the law of the Lord in the rebuilding of the temple of the living God in all of these lives. So it's been this last 6 years, but it'll be three more solid years. But you'll see the church advance. You'll see the growth of it. You'll see the establishment of it. You'll begin to see the walls established. You'll begin to see the doors set. Even as the finishing up of Nehemiah with Ezra at the very end, all these things took place together. After that 3 years, even in these next 3 years, you're going to see the house fill up more and more and more and more. But after those 3 years, you're going to see the Lord bring great advancement and great enlargement. And he's going to move it from a house of Ezra, that will never go away, to an Antioch. And that'll be the beginning, 3 years, and then those next 2 years will be 5 years total. You'll see the Lord begin to establish an Antioch house. He'll be established the prophets and the teachers in the house. I'm going to say this very carefully with all these things. It is very much different than Jerusalem. I want to say it because you know it. I don't have to explain it. So I don't have to go into any detail with you. It won't be like Jerusalem, even though we love Jerusalem, because here we must establish a new prophet, a new teacher, and especially a new apostle. This is all changing. It is not going to be like it was in that day. As much as I like James, and even as much as I like Peter, and I like the things that went on, we had not that Paul is not the example, but there's changing. We're in an evolution right now of a restoration of his passion in regard to the apostle, prophet, all these things. That's why Antioch was necessary to reach the world. They would not see the Gentiles the way they were before, because they were made up of all Gentiles pretty much, except for Paul and Barnabas. But that ministry, that duality, those two men being sent out, Barnabas and Paul, you'll see that as being a model here, and he'll use it as a model for the development of the people here, the development of the church planting here, the development of extending out. And after these 3 years, that's you'll start to see it be enlarged, and it'd be more county thinking, planting a church here, planting a church there, and it'll be in the areas of Florida to begin with. And then the Lord will stretch it out some more years later. I'm not going to set any more numbers, time periods, because there's going to be some adjustments that he will make himself. There'll be some changes that he'll make that will cause there to be great liberty. And you're going to see an enlargement of liberty. As he elevates the authority, he's going to bring great liberty, because he knows this, because it's not a man's authority that you're walking. I'm so thankful for that. And that's probably why he brought us together. I don't do too well with men authority, male authority. I'm not really big on that. I love spiritual men with spiritual authority. We certainly need that. I'm just putting that as a parenthesis, because that's his heartbeat. He's not against anyone, but he's looking for a man that'll be willing, for sure. And so he's certainly found one and a family of them. And so you see the Lord strengthening. Even now with this building process, you should just go, temporal. Because I quoted out of 2 Corinthians 4, prior to him saying that this is a lightweight of things, it involves all this temporal. What's eternal? What's temporal? It's just this moment in time. It was just a little thorn. It was just a little thing that he's adding grace to. It's just a little piece. Don't let that be overwhelming. Don't let it look be large. Just momentary. You look back at this building and think, geez, I don't even think our youth will fit in that building anymore. If we ever had that building, our youth would never fit in there. So that's not going to work, really. Yep. So the Lord will continue the enlargement, and he'll enlarge you, enlarge you. He is beautiful because those who humble themselves, he exalts. See, that's what's happening with this new prophet, new teacher, new apostle. There's this humility. He never requires it, but he's got hungry men who want to walk in humility, who are willing to lay prostrate before him, who are not really worried about title and position. That's why you stood up and said what you said over here. Sure, accusations are going to come. Are you kidding? Jesus was the most accused person, but he always unrobes himself when it's time to really live and take a pan and water and wash disciples' feet. That's what he was. That's kingdom. That's divine. That's really the reality of who he was. Born a bond slave. And so, my brother, this is the days that you can just keep looking up. Don't be drawn down to the earth. Don't be drawn down to the pull of the earth. Don't be drawn down to the spirit of the age. Don't even let it move you. He'll have you move in here. Move with the mayor's thing is beautiful. He'll have you move in here, but don't at all be pulled down to it. And even the people that walk with you, don't let them. You need to have the people who come by and say, you got to do this, got to do that. Encourage them, hear them, but just say, listen, that's good, you're right, we'll do it, but let's keep our eyes upon him and the ability of the kingdom of God. And so the Lord is going to bring resources like this. He's already hewing out rivers. The rivers will carry different things, barges carry different things. And you'll see the rivers. This river will carry some gold. This will some silver. This will carry some slaves. This one will carry some people who have broken lives and broken marriages. And he's building these rivers. And he's bringing them here. They're coming here to find a place, to find a refuge, because the Lord is intending that this did not be simply a village, nor a town, not a city, but to be, in a sense, a nation of a people, a nation built within a nation. Those are big words I'm using, and so that's why I'm weighing them out, because they're very large. The bad thing about being me is I know what I'm saying, and so I understand the weight of some of these things, and so I'm careful with them, but that's how the Lord wants to enlarge this thing. Now, this could put a lot of pressure, because we're built like men, and so I immediately take the pressure on me. I've certainly been bad with that. But this is not to apply the pressure. These are things the Lord himself will do. The glory of God and the intent of God by his voice will cause things to be that could not be any other way. You won't have to twist arms. You won't have to beg. You won't have to wish. You won't have to. There are times that Jesus is silent that aggravates me a little bit. When those disciples left in those 70, he should have said something like, well, I'll see you after the resurrection, or you're making a mistake. He says nothing. It bothers me so much. But I realized, though, because he knew his Father would do far more than sometimes even his voice could do. And so the Lord will do something, of course, as you know, in the outpouring, that'll change everything. He just knows this. And so the Lord, even now, is setting a spirit upon you that has a greater sense to hear, a greater sense to know. It's a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He's just increasing within your own life, that you might hear and understand, that you might be able to see the grace, gift, and treasure that is within mankind, that you would be able to hewn it out, even out of the most damaged of pieces and the most damaged of treasures, that you would see the investment of God in every person. It is the beginning of the pastoral, prophetic, teaching, apostolic thing the Lord will bring in the people that he will raise up here. So though there has to be some more time in the workplace for you, because the Lord's extending it out a little bit, but this is the increase of the finances is upon the two of you. There's the day of begging and wishing and hoping is over. I mean, just over. He's changing it. Because it's hard for men to have hope these days. It's hard for men to believe beyond. Fortunately, we can't look at our checkbook most of the time in the night, so we have to believe God. He purposely kept a lot of zeros out of it, so I'd have to believe him. I wish he didn't, but he did. Ask Linda, she'd say, yeah, I keep it, so I know. Oh, shut up, honey. Don't tell everybody you keep the checkbook. Jeez, it makes me like less of a man. Oh, in this world, yeah, but I don't really care. I don't care about being less of a man. I want to be that man. Yeah. Anyways, I'm just teasing. And so, but you're going to see in this 3-year period is where things are going to drastically change for you. And when we get to the end of this 3-year period, it's going to be this real change, because the Lord wants to bring you in next 10 as you could travel together. You can plan your lives together. You're able to do things together. He really wants to do that. I said it to you about getting the rest and all that. The Lord's really going to begin working that stuff out for you, because he really wants to. Just the favor of God is upon you. It always has been. Love the story yesterday, because the Lord wants to really open up this. You have this prophetic song like that's there. And you know, I'm not big on words like apostles and prophets. You know that. I'm just not. I stay very, very careful with those words. They don't just fly out of here at a whim, not a chance. But there is. It's always been there. But you've made room for him unbelievably. You've made room for your kids unbelievably. You made room for singers unbelievably. You just really, you do. You always take a step back. The Lord has marked every one of those. That's what you didn't know. From the very beginning, he's just checked them off. He's amazing. It's in the prophetic out of Isaiah 62 that he's coming with his promise. So you can encourage from the beginnings of the earth, you can encourage those who we know. His promise, he comes with it. It's in his hand. And my sister, that's these next 3-year periods are going to be this weaning you off and reestablishing some things to create this financial base for the two of you, because he wants to create a financial base for the two of you, and the church will grow and there'll be a financial base for the church, and so all of that will work out, but he wants to release you out of that. And you can stretch the third year to the end of the third year. I'm fine with that at the beginning. Don't lock it so much into that, but you're going to see the change over that period. And then to bring you in so that you'll be able to speak and sing, and because he wants to widen the platforms. He wants to widen the release of spirit. He wants he doesn't want just north, whatever. I'm sorry, I don't mean to north. What is it? True north. He'd like to have real south and pretty cool east and yo west. In other words, yeah, he wants to, that's all right. He wants to have a little bit more. He wants to have these multiple voices, multiple sounds, multiple stuff, and then do a big grand thing in the building downtown that brings people in at Christmas and Easter. See, those are all the things that are in your heart and spirit and in the heart of the church. And so you're going to be a necessary part of that, because you have this, even up here, which, you know, I'm a people watcher. I just do it. I just watch it. And I'm in a lot of places, which doesn't need to be known at all where and whatever. But there's not always this cohesiveness. There's not always this. There's always this battling about who's the better singer, who's the better musician. There's always this war and conflict up there that I just kind of put my head down and just think, God, I wish that wasn't going on in that group, even though the faces are not here. Beautiful. Going to happen sometimes. It happens sometimes. It goes on sometimes. But it's really coming to an end with you in this next dimension of this thing, because he really, I'm not going to say so much recording studios and all that. That's kind of stuff the Lord will work out. But he wants to bring in excellence here. You know this about him. If anybody works with him, I love when I come here. First time I came, he had this drawing board, all these things. I was loving it. I go to some churches, the guy says, well, I don't know what time you're going to get up, and you can stop when you want, and I don't know what's going on during the middle of that. I'm like, praise God, I'm stable here now. I feel good. I love order. I just do. Even though he ultimately sets the order in the end of it, he moves you out around. Come on. I know some people who have come through here doesn't appreciate the order. But I want you to know everything our God does has unbelievable order to it. Everything. Yeah. So it still is with you. And so this is the day the Lord is going to begin to dream. If you're not really happy with the house, dream for something else. If you want a second house near the beach, dream for that. If you want something in the Bahamas, dream for that. But you can go ahead and dream it. You don't have to tell them, make them nervous, tell the kids, make them say, yeah, let's hope Dad gets it, those kind of things. You don't have to do that. But this is really the dreaming day for you, for the personal life. I think the house at the Bahamas where pastors would go and rest, and you could go there, and I can go there, and, you know, Bishop could go there, and, you know, yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah. I'm going on the mission field. we're playing, but I mean this, you know. It's really the time just to begin the dream. Because we lived by family pattern, we lived by financial pattern. I don't need 18 cars. That's foolishness, I think. For me, it's foolishness. Nice car, nice house, but it's okay to dream because it'll always be the supporting of other people. Beautiful. So listen, the Lord is really this continual increase, but it's absolutely necessity. This is the first time I said to you, I don't say it this way, that the Daniel figure becomes something you understand, because the Lord wants to elevate you to a influence that's larger than your education. Because with Daniel, they knew right away that he was a young man of wisdom and knowledge, along with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But there was something with Daniel, though. He didn't limit to what they thought or to his training. He's only 17 years old when he begins to have visions and willing to share it with the king, willing to his whole life, even though he was great in their eyes, acknowledge, there's none great but our God. He's the one who opens up eyes. He's the one that caused me to see. Even after all these years of being a slave in Babylon, his character is amazing. That must be you, because you won't work it so much like them by necessarily the gospel as it is in a text or a song as it is in its structure. But he wants to work these two things through you so that it comes out in a way that the farmer hears it, in the way the businessman hears it, the way the banker hears it. He wants to take the gospel and formulate it to you. Where one time it was a struggle to you. Is it the call of God? Is it business? Is it you struggle with all that, resisted sometimes during those times because you didn't know who you were. I love this about you. You know, you're strong like him. You didn't mind submitting. You just want somebody to make you something you weren't going to be. And so sometimes it was a little bit of a conflict. But the Lord knew, though, that he would draw you in a day and he'd woo you with cords of mercy. Yes, he's always been that way with you. Just woos you and lets you know, and then you walk in. It's a beautiful thing. But so understand this. This is the study of the scriptures for you isn't so much that you speak them, but that you understand how the Lord developed those men and women and what they meant to governments and what they meant to nations. And you see it from a perspective that I love, but I'm not in that place. I don't always meet with those kind of people. I would love to sit in the White House. No matter who's in the White House, I'd love to sit up in the White House and share and believe and pray and lay hands on things. I've been there before. I would love to do that, but that's more of a place for you. It doesn't mean it's going to be the White House, but you've got to be open to it. But I will tell you this, though. It depends on your willingness for the Lord to work these things within you will determine the height of it. So he's never going to be angry with you, but he has to be able to trust the man. So how he trusts the man is he has to prove a man that the man's heart is faithful and that the man is faithful to what he's given to him, that he can give him more. That's his thing. He wants to give abundantly above, more than we can ask or think, but he must prove the man or the man or the man or the woman so that he can do it. Allow him to do it. You take time and you study those individual characters, especially the ones I've ever said to you. They weren't just, well, Daniel, well, this. No. They were specific people. So just know that, dude. Listen, the green light is huge for you now. Larger than it was the first time I spoke. It was a huge green light. Large. It's time to just go for it. But go for it with all of your might. Just remember whose you are. Thanks. Appreciate it. Just the Lord's gracious. So I'm looking for somebody. I just want to, before I move here, I just want to, I'm looking for the elder, I don't remember his name, who, yes. No, the elder who did the prayer yesterday, who was your pastor friend. Yes. Tommy, is he here? He's gone.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. I could do that. Okay. So you have to let them know these things, that the Lord really brought them here to bring real repair to their lives. You know, you understand this phrase. It's a prophetic word about Jesus. He'll say it to his disciples, they smite the shepherd and the flock flee. Well, he's been a smited shepherd. He's been a shepherd that has been beaten verbally and in many ways. And when he came here, he was a broken man, feeble, destitute, with no terra firma. It was like he had to be ripped out of the ground, and all you saw when he came here was some roots of what he did. He couldn't even talk about it. He couldn't even reminisce about it. The memories were so bad, almost destroying his wife, almost taking the heart out of his wife. And sometimes it's like that. You know, all I've known is this kind of stuff. All I've known is this kind of difficulty. But for him, though, it almost broke him. He came here because he had, in a sense, an older brother would hold him, an older brother would love him, an older brother would care for him, an older brother that would build again his strength. And it was beautiful to see him, but I've been waiting to say this to him all this time that I've known him, because I was watching him and how he was going. And so what the Lord's going to do is he's going to be here, especially these next years, three minimum. To what the Lord's doing is rerooting him in the pastoral ministry will continue. He's to be here to be a part of this, but the Lord it will take the terra firma. He's already preparing a place for him and replant him. And so you can assure him that day will come, because now what he's doing, he's struggling now a little bit with, that's why he was here, I could look into his eyes, but he's struggling a little bit with the timing of it. And am I ready? And I, because he's feeling that, like your oldest son would be, I think I'm ready to run, Dad, but you know, it's just not time. Not that you did that, but like that, you know. So, but you got to just let him know, and this is why I needed to speak to him, that he needs to hold out for a while, 3 years minimum. No, he's not going to like that. Just relax, because when the Lord brings him, he'll come with a lot of this terra firma. The replanting of any plant naturally determines its life by what it brings with it. the dirt it brings with it. And so he's going to come before he's just a little seedling trying to plant in a wilderness, in a desert place. Even if he goes back there, it will not be the same, because he'll come with the watering system here. He'll come with the strength of the soil. He'll come with the energy of the soil. He'll come with the life of the soil. And then the Lord will transplant them. He'll be one of the first that out of your own lineage, if you will. Others will join you like it has. But you'll replant him, and when the replanting comes, you can assure his wife it'll be great. We assure him it'll be great. It'll never be like it was. It's a new day and a new time. All of it has changed. You got to let him know. But it's the timing is critical. That's why he needed to hear this. It really was. And the Lord is not, because he's been such a failure, he felt like failure. He felt like a disappointment. He felt like, well, maybe I'm not to be that. Maybe even now when he's called an elder, he's happy with that. But he just throws one step down. I was a pastor at one time, and all these things that, no, everybody goes through. The Lord's very gracious to that struggle. And so just let him know that the Lord is intending to replant him. Just be best way. Remind him. Think about it. Jesus waits all eternity to be planted. He really does. And then when he's 12, he's still waiting 18 years to show up. I mean, I've got to learn that waiting from him, because no one ever waited that long. That long. But the waiting is a divine thing. It really develops a divine nature. And so that's something he must understand. And just assure him the Lord will really prosper and bless him tremendously. So the Lord is going to allow this networking for you. But he's really, I want to say this in between this, because he's been so sensitive to your cry, the two of you. You'd never poor mouth anybody, never. You just would never do that. There was not any, I would never do that either. I'd have to find bread on the ground before I did that. Not because I might be stubborn, I might be prideful, I don't know. But I'm just not going to. I keep it this way. And so the two of you have joined together and let your heart, your cry be to the Lord in regards to the finances, in regard to the future, especially for them in education and schooling, and wanting to provide for them. You do not want them to see a life of poverty to the ministry, a life of hopelessness to the ministry. And so you've had this real prayer. But the beautiful thing is, though, is you've not restricted the Lord to how we would use your and what he wouldn't do. And so you've had this dual thing. Lord, you know our financial need. You know what we need to do. You know what we need for this to be. You know about the home that we want. You know where we want to be able to establish our kids. We establish our family. He's heard all this, but you've allowed him to let you be mobile, tabernacle-like. But I want you to know the Lord is moving into the earth to establish a home for you, to establish a family life. You'll be seeing him bring the finances in different ways. That's why you've got to keep the because I don't really know what you do, but you got this bridging, you got this networking that goes on with you here, because you're so gifted in this incredible deliverance evangelist, the incredible way to deliver people who are really in bonds and chains. Part of that's because of your lineage and all that. But there's a part of it that I'm going to speak to that the Lord's changing with you, even though you've come from this particular group of people and this particular style of people. But you're going to see the Lord begin to loosen some of those bounds so that you're not so much marked after them. It's hard when you've had a strong influence. It's hard to shake that off. I think Joshua probably struggled with the most. Can you imagine shaking off Moses? That would be a hard one, man, after 40 years. But he does it. He shakes it off. And so you're going to see the Lord already. He's moving, and he's going to give you some wisdom on where to choose. But he wants to establish you and your family in a people and among a people. Whether you lead that people or walk with that people, doesn't matter. You're born to have influence, both of you. And so that's going to increase. You're going to see the Lord increase that and establish that, because he really wants to settle you as a family. You know, he was born to run. You know that. I mean, if they put him on a plow horse, he would rather just go home. He got to be on a stallion. You know, he just, if anything's moving at 2 miles an hour, I don't want to be in it or on it either. You know, so he's that way. He loves to run. Yeah, you got it. So he loves, but the Lord really wants to establish this thing so that it doesn't become this here. Lasting fruit is what you're going to see him do. He's been very pleased, so don't hear this and weigh out where you've been and what you've done. He's allowed you to stretch out. He's allowed you, when the vine dresser is dressing the vine, what he does is you would think he'd prune it around and make the vine equal. He does, and he allows it to grow this way and grow short here. Then he cuts this back, and so that it'll grow here. The whole reason is to deepen the root. So he's allowed you to stretch it out, and then he seems to end it. And then he's allowed you to stretch it over here, and then he seems to end it. All he's doing is he's allowing this to grow, but he's deepening the root. So what you're going to see change is you've always had this ability with strong men, because you're strong, and women. But you're going to see the Lord begin to work in you a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, But the miraculous is what God is really bringing to your lives. He is, because there was a time when we delivered people by the strength of our arm, we delivered people by the strength of our hand, by the fear of God. We love the terror of God. And there is a portion of that. But what he wants to do, and what you're going to see as the Lord begins to do this, is the miraculous coming to your life, that you'll lay hands upon a man that's been an alcoholic his whole life and sick and demon-possessed, and you'll just say, in Jesus' name, be healed, and he'll be instantly healed. There won't even be a process. It'll be tough because everyone is learning to go through the process. Doesn't mean the process is wrong, any of that. But you're going to see the incredible deliverance, and that's something the Lord has raised you up to bring change into the community of people that you are in, that the delivering power of God would be there, and that we don't have to put them, even if they go on this period of time, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, oh, it's okay. But we're going to believe God, the power of deliverance. And so you're going to see the Lord begin to develop that in your life. And you're going to find it in the scriptures. You're just going to be declaring this incredible power of God. Even, you know, this is beautiful too. When you were 15, you went into the system, you told me, with the whole thing. But the thing was, though, there was such an issue for you in trusting authorities, trusting father figures, it's not with you now. But it's amazing, though, the Lord is going to bring you back to that day, and he's going to cause you to understand why and how father figures and authority figures aren't trusting, and you're going to help the fathers and help the authorities, but you're also going to help the sons and the daughters. You're going to be in this beautiful place between the fathers and between the sons to see unity and to see love come. That's why he wants to establish you with a people, because they're going to say, well, he's just a rogue. He runs around, does what he wants. He's always been like that. There's still people who say that about you. I hear it. And they say, well, he's just rogue, but that's the Lord's. Don't listen to that. It's not true. The Lord's going to do it. He's going to change the packaging, but he's not going to change what's in the package, because he's been working in the package. And whether anybody likes the package or not doesn't really matter. He's skinned you as he's done him. He's taken the old wineskins off more than once, 2-3 times, so that he could pour new wine into it. He's going to continue doing that. And so this is really the day of the Lord, the day of the change of the Lord. This is the day of the elevation of the Lord. This is the day of the exaltation of the Lord. This is the day of the power of God. This is the day that we can say that, I love what Joshua said. He says, get ready, because your God will do great exploits. He will do incredible things tomorrow. That's exactly what's happening. Tomorrow's already here. It's already begun. It has already started. Even the things you said to him were exactly right for yourself. And so you're going to see the Lord. You're going to bring a faith that's been greater, both of you. Because, you know, this woman of yours is just an incredible woman. You know, she hasn't only said like 2 words to me. But that doesn't matter, because that's how life goes sometimes. You know, it's all good. But she has got this unbelievable voice, this music sound. All of the girls, all of the ladies in this row have this incredible music sound, this incredible worship sound. And in all this, because she's lived under this shadow. You weren't the shadow. It was the religious shadow. It was the women's shadow. It was the you can't be shadow. Even from her growth earlier years. And from the very beginning, the Lord already worked within her spirit that she'd be a woman of honor, a woman of God. She'd be a young Esther and a young Deborah, a woman who would stand with men and men would trust, but a young woman who would have a place before the king. And that Ruth spirit also that's in there, that's very nursing, very loving, very tender. These boys will say it, though. This is Papa. This is Mama. They won't say, this is him alone. We don't know her. You're very much like that with that man. These girls, but the Lord is ripping this shadow that's shadowed you and that stood over you. He's tearing it off to release you, that you can walk without fear or reservation. You have no. If I thought you had an issue with authority or an issue with submission, or you were that kind of person, I wouldn't say this to you. Even if it was true, I wouldn't say it. But you're not that kind of person. That's why I'm saying it. And the Lord himself is tearing it off so that you'll be shadowed by nobody's history, nobody's thought, not by some cultural religion or some cultural idea. He came to set everybody free. Captives, men, women, me, all of us. He came to deliver us, set us free. And you will not break order. You'll not break rank. There's not an issue with that at all. That's why I'm saying this specifically to you, so that you know that. So that when this thing begins to develop, that you'll be able to let the song of the Lord go. Song of the Lord go. Let it go. Let it rip. Let it ride. Let it be. And then when you're with those folks and they puff up their wool to make you intimidated, you don't have to puff up yours. Don't do that. You just won't be intimidated. Because the Lord is delivering you from men stronger than you, girl. He really is, so that you can walk free in deliverance. He wants to do the same thing with the life of your family. The same song of the Lord, same thing is in there. It's amazing. I've never seen such duplicate spirits in the girls. So listen, the education is going to be premier for you. You're the one with the great voice. You're the one that's got the thundery voice. You're the one that sometimes will argue with him, you know what I mean, about things. You'll do that, though. Yeah. So you'll do that, though, but you'll debate with him. You'll say, well, how come, why, what do you mean, how about it? She will agree with you, but she's not going to say as much as you'll say, because you were born strong. You really were. You would never let anybody shadow you. I mean, you're absolutely beautiful. You're incredible. You know, we don't have to beat the guys off you, because you'd be like, shut up, man. Get away from me. Please, don't bring that sweet talk over here. Yeah, that's you. Yeah, that's you. But the education, back to that, is critical. I mean, master's level. Even higher, if you want to do law or if you want to do medicine, but you're born for the law. That's why you can move it into the kingdom of God, to the scriptures, or into the legal systems, but you're born for it. The Lord will guide you. They'll guide you. That's why the finances will be there for her to be able to do the schooling she needs, both of them, your whole family. And so, girl, you have to know this, though. That's why sometimes you feel the pressure of submission. You feel the pressure of being in line. You feel that pressure of wanting you want to go and do your own thing when no one's watching. It's the Lord holding that. He set you that way so that you could be, you'll be a woman pure, a woman that can be trusted, a woman that doesn't do one thing because it pleases people and does another thing because she knows it's right. You see, he's making sure that doesn't happen, that everything they see is pure and true, that you are submitted to authority, but you're not afraid of authority, because one day you'll be in authority, and that sowing in your life, you'll reap it. People will submit to you, trust you, believe in you, and you'll be able to lead, and you'll be able to guide, and you'll be trusted. That's going to be the biggest thing, is that people are going, he's intending to trust you. Already he's building a large platform for you. Even if you wanted to go into, you know, I'm going to be careful with this, even if you wanted to go into fashion, that level of things, even if you wanted to do that, you really should do law and just do that as a side business eventually when the money's flowing, just design your own stuff, because you got that kind of ability. Is it me? Is my battery dying? What? Amber Alert. Oh, wow. So who's out of touch with their phone? You got it? Okay. So really, so if you want to do the fashion stuff, but you really, even, you know, undergrad's not enough. Even the master's degree is going to be less satisfactory, because you have that kind of mind, that kind of ability. And, you know, I didn't do education so much because I wanted to do education. I was looking for the one hidden in that book. But without realizing it, though, the education has really made a way for me in places that I could never go and never be. I didn't know that. So I'm amazed at it. But for you, you're hearing it at this age and at this time, so you could prepare yourself. Daniel had no idea, as I said to him, how the Lord would use him. Either did Esther. They had no idea. But there was this purity and this place of living that they would not. Even when they were going to give him the king's meat, he said, no, let me eat this. He wouldn't just let the world get in him. He wasn't against the world. He just wouldn't let it get in him. He just knew, I need to hold on to what I've been eating, what I'm supposed to eat. You're following me? In the ears and in the eyes and in the mouth, right? All ways that everything gets inside of me. So, girl, I'm just telling you, you're going to be one awesome, awesome young woman. So, you know, I know life has had its hard times, and it's been a life of a lot of wounds, a lot of difficulties, fighting your way out of everything, even from a young child. Having a father figure was something you never even considered, having someone that you could trust and love you. And it's funny, because even at your age, you still have this childlikeness that's in here, wanting to be loved, longing to be loved, longing to appreciate it. Like my granddaughter, my grandson, when I get around, they just want to know that grandpa thinks they're awesome. Grandpa thinks they're great. That's all they want to know. And I'm good with doing it. Isn't he? He's amazing. Even in their flaws and their faults. I know they're not doing good in school. But a grandfather does that. A father does that. He's that kind of father. Even when I'm flawed, he still says, you know what, Jay? We can do this thing. And so I want you to know, my brother, the Lord brought you here to not only to restore and rebuild your life, but all the people that you love, in some ways have really brought destruction to your life from an early day, The Lord's already moving back in your life to begin to bring healing and reconciliation. It doesn't mean a lot of them will cross over and be with you. Sometimes they will, but the Lord's going to bring a liberty in your heart to pray and believe. And in that, you're going to see Him do some things that are not possible. Even some of the people that you've run through your life, you can remember as early as 8, 7, 8, 9 years old. You can remember those days. You can remember the people involved. 11, 12, 13, your teenage years, as difficult as they were, you haven't forgotten them because a lot of them were difficult. You're going to see the Lord even with some of those people. He has this way of redeeming. Even I believe, we don't know yet, I believe that some of the people who beat Him to death, who beat Jesus, maybe not the lector, the guy who did it, but the people who were there, the people who watched, the soldiers who watched Him, who were against Him, Paul was certainly one of them. Without us ever knowing it, I know He reached them because He's that kind of a God. Incredible. He goes after the people I love and He goes after the people I hated because He's in the business of redeeming. And so when He took you, He began to heal your heart that you would trust the Father, heal your heart that you would trust older men, heal your heart that you'd be willing to serve and not have to and be cared for or wonder what anybody's thinking. Isn't it nice you don't have to look behind you anymore? You remember those days? You always had to look behind you. Isn't that nice? You had to wonder what was coming. And so the Lord has done this very thing so that you could just be free and liberated and that you don't have to worry about what's happened to you. Dude, I'm just telling you, part of this I'm saying though, some of this comes to you because it's you wouldn't run. But the Lord's going to bring a lot of people in here, like these guys I'm going to go talk to in just a few seconds here, who go for a while, 6 months, 8 months, a year, year and a half, 18 months, but they're always concerned that something's coming. And so we always got one foot running out the door. We can never just settle in and just give ourselves wholeheartedly. But dude, you really overcame the willingness to run. You really did. And you stood still. And you know, when you first came, you thought, this is crazy. I can't do this. But he's like, yeah, you're doing anything. This is nuts. You were right. It is nuts. What kind of God is this? Are you kidding me? I mean, how do we deserve this? We don't. Dude, you got to stand up and just give me a high five. Come on. I love you too. I would take him into an alley with me any day. Yeah, I would come out of it. Yeah, so I'm just going to encourage you a little bit, okay? You guys, you all right? You sure? Okay, I won't push you around because I noticed you had short sleeve shirts on. Your arms are pretty big. Dude, listen, love the hair, all this. I do. Just encourage you. You know, you're a super strong guy. You're afraid of nothing. Part of the reason is because you wouldn't run from anything, but the life has been just made up of having to run. It's made up of having to hide. It's made up of having to defend yourself. It's been this whole way with you. You know, you just did. You want to stay out of the fight and out of the gang style life, but it was very difficult for you, just very hard because just the influence, everything around you. Without you realizing it, though, from your birth in your mother's womb, even though birth and life was difficult, the Lord had a plan. Even when I saw you yesterday sitting down, and I looked over. First thing I thought, I said, "Dude's got bad hair, man. That's nasty hair. I love that hair." But you could see as earlier today, I just like hair in general. Well, not everybody's hair. It's getting closer, I know. I feel your pain. I do. I get it. Some are even starting to extend a little. I don't know. Only because he loves me. Otherwise, anybody else would be like, "Can I have a talk with you outside?" Yeah. So what I'm saying is, listen, in this process that you're in, sometimes I'm going to just say it this way, you know, the Bible talks about the potter, especially, because clay has a mind of its own, without even natural clay, and so the potter starts to get his hands in the clay, and the clay resists, because the clay doesn't trust the potter, doesn't trust what's going on, and so the Lord brings the prophet Jeremiah there, and he says, look. And you see, the clay is fighting. All of a sudden, the clay is marred. And the potter has to take the clay and put it aside and get another piece. And Jeremiah listens to the Lord. And he goes, "See, don't they know I'm the potter, they're the clay?" And so it was a word to me, though, because I had my father sitting over there. But I had trouble with authority. I had nowhere near your life. But I didn't like it, so I had the more silent resistance. Your resistance was a little larger, a little heavier, a little weightier, a little more business. But it was the same thing, though. And so I began to realize that even though I may not trust him, I can trust God. Because he's molding my life, and you are right now in a fresh shaping of being molded. My friend, listen, if you let the vessel go the way it was going, your life would have been over in just a couple years. You would have never seen your 30th birthday ever. It would never have come. And so the Lord has intervened. It would have been a lot earlier than that. But the Lord has come to make sure that didn't happen. Because he knew you as I started in your mother's womb, that this is a young man that's going to be a stallion of mine, a young man that I can hook my people to, hook my wagon to, hook anything to, plow. He'll be willing to do anything for the kingdom of God. That's the young man that I'm getting. And you have a lot of family members. Your family is very large. But isn't it amazing, though? It looked like you were the one that was captured. You're the one that was imprisoned. It felt like that. It looked like that. But the Lord wasn't doing that. He was taking you out of the people you were a part of, taking you out of that family, taking you out of those people to begin to bring healing and wholeness and to cause you to trust him. The Lord is good at this, though. He doesn't say to somebody, trust me. What he does is he bares his arm and he shows his strength. He comes and talks to a man that the man can trust that this God could be the real deal. He might be the real thing. They may not be just some old dude sitting on some throne just hanging out doing the world. Oh, no, man. He wants to be involved heavily. And he dreams big. And so he was going to make sure that your life wouldn't cut short. But now you're the clay. He's the potter. You're set in a potter's house. It's time and a decision is made. Let the potter make the vessel of honor. Let the potter be the one who forms the vessel. You will not be disappointed. You will not be frustrated. He'll enlarge you, heighten you. He'll make the inside of you so clean, so pure. Every one of us, including me, have things inside of me that I don't tell anybody. I have secrets in here. All of us do. Sometimes I know a man's secrets. Oftentimes I do. I just don't tell him because he doesn't tell mine. Doesn't mean that they're not known. He knows them, but he knows what I'm struggling with. That's the amazing thing. So what he does is he reaches his hand inside of me, and he cleans up all that charred members, all that stuff that's hidden, all the things that I kept secret. And he just heals them. He makes me realize that it's okay with him. He's come to heal me. He knew I was flawed. That's why he came. He knew the young man was flawed the day he went for him. But he went for him because he knew the flawed young man will be a great man of God one day. So you allow the Lord to do the work. You can trust him. Otherwise, it's a weird thing, though, because sometimes I don't see him. Sometimes I don't feel him. Sometimes I don't know he's there. That's how I learned to trust him. So I want you to know, my young friend, all of this was not just because you had nothing else to do. All of this was because the Lord ordained it, rescued you, saved you to establish you. Wow. Your whole life you've been a hardworking man ever since you were a young man. I mean, you put me to shame because you were working by the time you were 10 years old. I mean, you just were that kind of a person. You just always were nose to the grindstone. But it was so difficult, though, because around you was so much anger, so much difficulty, so much fighting, so much warring, if you will. You know, I'm so glad I grew up in a family that has a lot of peace, but I have a lot of friends that the stories they tell me are incredible. With their issues with their father. I have some guys who I know from prison who were just born for war because they were raised in a war house. They were raised by a warrior. They were raised with fight and enemy. They were raised with hatred and inside of hatred. They were hammered themselves. They were knifed themselves. They were not physically knifed by their fathers and by their homes, but they were in their minds mentally knifed. They were just constantly beat down like this. And so some men get beat down and just become nothing but rubble. Some men get beat and they just rise up. You're one of the risers. You're one of those who rose up. You're one of those who wasn't going to be pushed around, beat up, pushed around at all. But I want to tell you, the Lord, even this time of your life and at your age, he's coming to begin things new. It's almost like when I looked over, it was almost like you were a virgin. The Lord was beginning to wipe away the slate, wipe away the things that were written. They felt like they were etched in stone. You'll never be. You aren't. You did this. You did that. These are your problems. These are your issues. Even if they were true, because I came into this kingdom with a lot of issues. A lot of issues from my father's side, a lot of issues from my mother's side. Stuff my father dealt with, stuff his grandfather dealt with, my great-grandfather dealt with. Things about Jay LaRue that aren't really pleasant or really nice. Issues with the law with Jay LaRue. Issues that Jay LaRue was just born into it. I didn't know I was even there. I just thought I was being me. And this amazing God redeemed me. My brother was a different story. Alcohol, drinking, angry, fighter his whole life, blaming this one, blaming that one. Even with my brother and with me, the Lord rescued both of us, him just later. But I didn't realize, though, that he came for me in the position I was. I'm just going to tell you this one little story, okay? There's this, on the other side of the potter's field, which I just said to him, there's on the other side of the potter's house is this potter's field. Behind this potter's field and in this field are all these broken, charred pieces of clay. They're the clay that the potter had no use for. They couldn't stand the fire. They fell. They broke. They were cracked. They're of no use. People walk by that all their lives, and no one even looks in there because it's useless stuff. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes we go through life, and we're so charred, so broken, that anybody gets near us, we cut them, we hurt them, we wound them, because we've been just broken. Only the Lord can reach down into a potter's field and pick up a piece of clay that people would look at as being of no value at all. And he would say to the angels, watch and see what I'm going to do with this. Wow. My brother, I just want to tell you, the Lord reached into the potter's field. The Lord, it's good. The Lord reached into the potter's field and took out a piece of charred clay, troubled clay. Many things that don't need to be mentioned on the site. Even things written on the front of the clay of the kind of vessel he was prior to the broken place. The Lord has come to fully redeem it. You can trust him. Allow him to, even though, because religion, you don't trust, man, at all because of how life's gone. You don't even hardly believe that religion is of any value to anybody because of what you've been through. See, he knows this. But he's coming with a heart of passion and let you know that there's nothing impossible with him. Sure, there's impossibilities with me and you, but when I'm with him, nothing's impossible. And so he's come to fully redeem. Isn't it funny? He doesn't come just to fix my thumb, fix my finger, fix my hip so I could walk a little bit better. Oh, no. Fully redeem. And so this word comes that you might be able to trust, because sometimes all of this just seems not real. Sometimes it appears to be not real. A lot of people think it's not real. Some people don't even believe I exist. They don't. That's fine. Doesn't matter. Some people don't believe he exists. It's okay. It doesn't matter. What I want you to know is he does exist and he is real. And this isn't some religious thing. This is a God that we never knew and religion could ever know, who's come this day and worked this thing out to let you know that he's come to wipe off some of the things that have been edged into the side of your life, some things that are so marked people would say he'll never change, it'll never be any different. He's come to begin to rub those out and rewrite his heart, rewrite his passion, rewrite your destiny, and cause these areas of your life that are so edgy, so sharp, that people say, he's hurt me, he wounded me. They're going to find a whole new man when they meet him. Be patient with the Lord. Listen, he redeems the years. I know. So I'm 60, I'm going to be 63. And so I know that my earlier 20s, and I wish I made some decisions back there that would be more valuable. I wish I made some of these decisions earlier, but this is the God that can redeem years. He can draw it all up like I didn't miss a moment a day. He's already begun doing that in your life. Please stand with me. So appreciate your time. Aren't you glad we have 2-hour chairs in this church? Amen. Pastor knew what they knew what they were doing when they got these chairs. When we get into the next buildings, we're going to build up the pad even a little thicker. You know, it's got to be more like this way, this way, this way, and this way. Yeah, and then the balcony. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I can see it over there and over there. Yeah, that'd be really nice. Yeah. I just want an anticipation to be in us, and I'm done. Because I like I get up every day with a fresh anticipation. Because I leave him, and I'm just got this thing. I got this hope. It's undeniable. Anticipate salvation coming, unprecedented ways to our families. Let's forget where they've been, and let's begin looking to where they're coming. Yeah. Salvation. 2. Is in the shaking world, as it's being shaken, it's misread by the media, it's misread by many things. I'm not against any of those things. I'm thankful for I can get my apps. I appreciate all that. Don't set a voice to him, just encouraging you. He's the boss. Don't set an ear to that and judge it. Judge this, that the shaking ultimately is positive for the people of God. He's shaking things that need to be and can be shaken, and the things that are to remain will remain. I want it in me, in us. The Gentiles, you're not going to believe it. You're just not going to believe it. They're actually going to be speaking good things about the church. They're going to begin wanting a church. They're going to begin calling the church the redeemed of the Lord, the holy city, the holy people. They're going to be looking for us like they never have been before. And the final thing is, I am not and will not live without the glory of God. It is not some smoke. If you've been some thick darkness, some scary thing, some shaking the mountain. It's none of those things. It is the splendor, the beauty, the majesty, the glory, the preeminence of Jesus Christ. I need to live in the glory, it in me, flowing through me, in a demonstration of power unprecedented in the history of our world. Get ready. Father, I thank you for all that you're doing. I'm honored. Lord, we maintain our watch, not out of fear or concern, but ultimately we know you're the only one that can do this. You're the only one that can change our present world. Father, I thank you for that. Thank you for the honor of me to be part of this family, this men, these men, this church, Lord, this people. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.